Welcome to Technogram, Redington's podcast channel where we highlight stories that are interesting, inspiring, and informative. Today we have Nehal Sharma. She is the Vice President for Cloud Solutions Group at Redington Middle East and Africa. She started as a management trainee almost 15 years ago and has built businesses that are today over hundreds of millions of dollars all over the region. She is one of the leaders at Redington and is heading the most important and the most vibrant, and not to mention the most successful business unit of the company. So Nehal, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Janice. Good morning. And I think Redington, as you said, it's 15 years. I feel like my life has passed in quarters. Small pieces, small goals.
Yeah.
And when you say it and all of it, it's been quite a journey.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll come to that. But since we spoke about the quarters bit, I believe that this quarter has been one of the most successful for the cloud business.
Absolutely.
So how have we affected change within the CSG unit?
So few things, right? I mean, in terms of today, cloud is no more about having a conversation of how and when.
Mm-hmm.
It is about what you're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a Cloud Solution Group and the entire team today, we used to be earlier very generalist. Then we became, a little vertical focus. Today we are line of business. So cloud is not affecting just organizations. It's affecting line of businesses in those organizations. And I think we have modeled ourselves to cater to that.
Okay.
So today within CSG, we just don't build technology experts. We build people who understands the business, understands the customers. There are a lot of things when you go and talk to a customer, right? The customers, they would have already been on cloud, had a particular experience, gone through up and down with any partner or any hyperscaler who they work with. How does Redington come into a picture and how can we put a superior value with all of that what they want to do? That is the main motto with what we are driving today. And I think that has what changed our, approach to our customers and also to our partners.
So we definitely have come a long way.
Absolutely.
I believe we were one of the first ones to conceptualize cloud distribution almost 10 years ago, I think.
True.
And I think for some of our hyperscalers, we were also the ones who defined most of their norms for their two-tier models.
True.
So I'm sure in this journey of ours, there's lots of ups and downs. What I'm interested to know is what didn't work. Because I'm sure we don't want to reveal what works because our competition is definitely listening to this.
No, definitely. I mean, I think what works for everybody, right? There are certain things, certain factors which are good and you make it better.
Yeah.
It's all about that. Very nicely you have put what didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I think Redington as an organization has a culture of a fast fail. Over the years, I think across different business units, I have seen different people. Everybody has that leeway of acting first, failing first, learning first, which has evolved us and I think made us what we are today. I am very proud in saying that Redington has been a first company, approach first company to most of the vendors who did not have a distribution first strategy. That is a very unique proposition for us. We have had number of learnings. I wouldn't say failures, but number of learnings over the years. In cloud, if you look at it, we are a very scattered market, right? Middle East itself is 17 countries. Mm-hmm. Africa is 50 plus countries.
Yes.
Each country's norms, each country's culture, if you look at it in terms of cloud adoption matrix, if you look at it in terms of digital matrix, every country has its own way of approaching. Having customized approach up to the level where a user in Lebanon, you understand what they want, that is what makes us unique.
Right.
And it has taken us immense amount of learning. I mean, we have had first thing has been a cultural, big cultural adoption, I think, what we had to do. In terms of what works in UAE doesn't work in Kuwait.
Oh, right.
What works in Kuwait doesn't work in Saudi.
So the intricacies of each market.
Of course. And capitalizing on that. Because you can understand up to a certain level, but how do you scale it up?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make sure that it remains and you maximize the learnings out of it and you do it? And I think we have done it beautifully across the region. Today, It is, no uncertainty about which are the major markets in Middle East, right? But today, in terms of Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, Oman, in Africa, Ghana, I mean, countries where people are still thinking about how to do, we are leading the market for them.
Right.
What and how, hand-holding them, learning with them. Because, it is not something which has a set, a playbook.
Mm-hmm.
The playbook changes every quarter. You decide about what you want to go with. So you need to have that quick adaptability and quick GTM to take it. I think that motion, it comes in all our functions, not just the sales, right? From technical, from service delivery, from marketing, all of our functions, what are surrounding, have that adaptability. And one of the key things which makes it, you mentioned earlier, it's an upcoming, right? We have grown over the years. It's the young team. It's the young team who are filled with ideas. And these young teams are not sitting at one location and trying to do that.
Right.
Every country. So they know what is the field reality. Taking an example of our platform,
mm-hmm.
CQ. It was built only based on the feedbacks of what people wanted. It's people-owned marketplace.
Right.
Today, all the features, I don't think we have 200 features, but every feature which is available has been asked and requested by the people who use it.
So the channel partners.
And all, if I look at it, if we have 60 features, all the 60 features utilization is there.
Right.
That is the beauty of it. So, you know, people talk about democratization. I think we have democratized cloud in a way where each country can decide what they want to do.
Yeah.
I think that is what the biggest learning for has been. And that is what we have been able to implement over the years. Definitely a lot more work to do. With the emerging market in Middle East, Africa, every country is changing. We are going through the whole tax regime now. The governing policies are changing, data policies are changing, and we are evolving along with it. So, as I said, first and fast approach.
That sounds amazing, Nehal. I'm sure it's taken a lot of commitment and hard work as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So, what is that one use case that's always fascinated you and continues to fascinate you?
Oh, so if I look at a use case, right, I think over the years, a number of them would be there. One of the key use cases, which has been because when the portfolios, they're mammoths of organizations, right? But all of those portfolios, there'll be certain solutions which do not gather that interest.
Mm-hmm.
In a very, corporate word, it's called push products.
Right.
Right? Which is simple in terms of a customer would not even know that they need it.
Yeah.
So, I think building a practice around how to, I think this comes also from a lot of organization, how they drive it globally, right? Like Apple.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things which Apple puts, which as a user, consumer,
we never knew that.
We never knew we would want it. And I think that is the vision which we put, and that is how we build those brands. And today, not just brands, we have, taking an example, right? Microsoft is a mammoth.
Yeah.
It's a huge organization. Every customer in Middle East would be a Microsoft customer. How do you make sure what exactly do they need, which they're not doing today, to build it? So that whole process and how it works over the years, Red Hat,
mm-hmm.
we have done. In cloud, we have done for AWS. I mean, AWS on an overall level, when you say everybody wants, it's a cloud-first approach, right? But in AWS, how have we gone each technology-wise today from SAP, from DevOps, from data? What is those things which a customer would need? So I think that has been one of the biggest use cases, which has been continuously been evolving and been with us.
That sounds interesting. Nehal, so every podcast, I think I will not use this word because by now it is the most overused and overrated, But I think one of the biggest contributions to the cloud explosion is artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. So where do you see the world going, and what do you think is different in this region?
Okay, I think where do you think the world going? I don't think I have more to say than what is already written, and people would be there, right? In terms of artificial intelligence, in terms of use cases, I was saying quarterly things change. This is an everyday changing phenomena.
Right.
I think one of the key things what differentiates Middle East Africa from rest of the world is, if I remember right, the first AI minister was in UAE, was appointed in 2017. So the AI phenomena came in 2022. So imagine the vision,
right?
We have a much more head start about what we want to do. It is about how do we get there today for us. And number of data points, if you look at in terms of today, UAE and India mm-hmm. are the front runners in terms of not just organizations being ready or have already deployed AI. I think if I'm not wrong, almost 52% of organizations today in Middle East, particularly UAE, say that they have deployed AI in one way or the else. Not just that, the working professionals, the IT professionals, 58% in UAE are building their skill sets.
Right.
And they are looking at how they do. Hmm. This is something which is beyond adaptability. This is something you're getting future ready. Because UAE as a country, I think, has been a do it now, use it now, make it better now, right? And AI, the LLM model, it was a beautiful Falcon when it got launched. And one of the most amazing thing which happened is it got launched as an open source.
Right.
To use it and work with for everybody. And it's one of the fastest growing LLM models in the world. So, you know, few of the actions which we have taken to become a world predominant. And in terms of the intent to do it. With Saudi Aramco having an AI hub in Dubai, we have seen in DIFC, we have a Dubai AI campus today. I mean, there is so many moving parts, so many things happening in Middle East today, which a lot of the part of the world is trying to just catch up on. And with the whole, I think the, you call it a surreal effect, right?
Right.
Once you build it, and it is going to be just we are going to be one of those people, not just early adopters, we are going to be the ones who will define and help rest of the world define on what they should be doing with AI.
I think earlier it used to be us catching up with the rest of the world, but today we are at the forefront.
Absolutely.
By this region, I mean.
Absolutely.
And talking about surreal moments, one of the most surreal moments that I had was when back in Reimagine 23, last year, we had Dr. Michio Kaku as one of our keynote speakers.
Correct.
And if you remember, he spoke a lot about AI and quantum computing.
True.
And 6 months down the line, the whole world was buzzing about ChatGPT and GenAI.
Right.
It was there, but it became a bit more mainstream 6 months down the line. So I feel like we caught the wave on that.
True.
So sorry to put you on the spot, but what do you think is the next big thing?
I mean, I agree with you. We did caught the wave. In terms of one of the biggest things, next big thing, if I have to point out, I think I would say education.
Okay.
And in terms of education sector overall in Middle East, it's the most, because the influx of people and the young population, we have the biggest advantage of working from a very primary level to the graduation level, right? Mm-hmm. And the education sector is evolving so much.
Yeah.
One of the things what we did in recently, and you know, it has been in the news, we have put up alliances with UbuntuNet, which is a governing council for East Africa, and governing council for all the education sectors, all the public universities, cutting across 16 countries. And they are the ones who are, you know, defining policies on how and what should universities use. One of the things, simple thing, today researchers in each of the public universities, they get grants. one of the key challenges for most of the universities is how does the maximum optimization of the grants, how do you have the maximum ROI? I think if you look at it in terms of how the education sector is evolving and as Redington, today we are working with them, not in just terms of getting the optimized results, but how with Gen AI, they can have the maximum output. We are talking about, I was reading the other day about certain MIT researchers. They have figured out a particular, through Gen AI, a particular model where a breast cancer can be detected 5 years before you actually get it.
Oh, that's impressive.
Today,
wow.
Today, UAE, today in Middle East, Saudi, everywhere, we are becoming the research hub.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to come here and we want people to build what it has to. We are talking about building microchips, which get used in AI here. So, I mean, it is such a big, humongous opportunity in learning, not education, just learning domain, right?
Yeah.
It is, I think that's the next big thing.
I think that sounds great. I had the opportunity to talk to Professor Madara from Ubuntu, and he was also talking about how hungry everyone is for technology.
Right.
And especially in the learning sector, things are changing and moving forward, you know.
Absolutely.
So moving on from this topic, where were you when the entire world came to a standstill a few weeks ago? I'm talking about the blue screen, sad face that we all came face to face with.
Correct.
What do you think, what comes to your mind when such things happen, and what do you think that customers on an international level as well as within the region should be doing? How can we help? How can Redington potentially help?
Oh, I think it is one of those things which happen, which can, it can be taken as it can happen to anybody.
Sure.
Right? Definitely there was a complete outage. Everything was shut down, everything was affected. Travel was a big
airports
had a task. It is, see, technology helps you achieve what you want to achieve faster, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. But it is technology. It can always, they can, anything every time can go wrong. With Redington, one of the things what we work, and I'm not saying our customers did not face it, but one of the things we faced was having proactive in, first you need to listen.
Right.
If there's a problem, then every customer would want somebody to listen, right? If you do not have that ability, you're leaving somebody in complete dark. I'm saying you would not know the solution immediately. But it is something about having understanding, listening, understanding, and giving a roadmap of how it will be
corrected. So from an end customer point of view, what do you think they should be doing?
I think from the end customer point of view, every end customer needs to have a plan B.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of who do they go to? Who is their crisis management today? I don't think a lot of customers do have that. It comes, when the crisis comes, a crisis management is put, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Having a idea on what can go wrong is something which nobody puts a lot of thoughts on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, these things only come to your mind from a customer's point of view, I think when you're deciding upon what you want to go, what do you want to implement, what is it the output, what you want to get. But I don't think it's a consistent approach.
Hmm. Well, there's only so much you can anticipate.
Exactly.
What could go wrong.
Exactly. So, and that is one person's view, right? Everybody has different views. I think having a crisis management team, a small team, which actually looks at what can go wrong in different line of businesses, if A, B, C, D is not there.
Right.
And maybe you don't need to have a complete roadmap about how to get it corrected.
Mm-hmm.
But who can they go to? Having a go-to person or a organization or a person maybe internally, externally, depending on that, I think that is a must.
Okay. Okay. I wanted to talk to you about this. So, you know, the last few, since I've been here, we have been doing a lot of cool campaigns for our hyperscalers, whether it is the PPL or Game of Azure. So what I have noticed is that your personality is seeing, like for example, your vibrant personality and your the way you are. Mm. It is coming across in the way that you do the business. Mm. And I'm sure like it's a tough thing to do, to make your entire team emulate and work in the way that you do. Mm. So what do you think is your leadership style and how do you go about it? What is it that you do differently?
Honestly, I really don't know how to answer that. Well, in terms of, if you look at it, the maximum time, the maximum energy, and the relationships what we have in our lives, and the people who we spend this is in work, is at work, right? And what is the one thing which everybody wants in their life? They just want a good day, mm-hmm. to have a good day. It's a good morning, it's a good afternoon, right? How do you have a good day? You have a good day in terms of you can plan your day in a way, you can do whatever, right? Things will go wrong. It's to have that attitude that whatever goes wrong, there'll be something right which will happen. And to have fun, I'll be honest. I think in my team and everything, you work with those people so long. If you don't have people who you can have fun with while you're working,
yeah.
It becomes a little, I will say, monotonous. Mm-hmm. You will not be enjoying every aspect. I mean, you will have bad days, you will have certain things. But sure. Even if 70% of it, if it goes, mm-hmm. I think the whole... everybody, right, they would have that feel good. It's just about having that feeling, which I really cannot describe it. When you go back home, it just, when you, and you think about your day, it should be about, okay, you know, I did a lot of things and oh, this was fun,
right?
But it's a and this, I think, it
and the whole team working together, I guess,
exactly.
The collaboration that comes
and
with it,
everybody has to work together and everybody has to do that. And I think that comes from also being, that predominantly came to me from also being a parent.
Right.
Because the first thing I used to go and ask, I still ask my kid is, how was your day? What did you enjoy the most?
Right.
So even I started asking the same question. What did I enjoy the most?
Okay.
So that factor is the biggest thing which matters. And I think that is the only thing which I can think of.
Okay. You said that we spend a lot of time with each other at work. So is it true that you met your husband as well at Reddington?
No, I actually met him in college.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you met him at Reddington and then you work for so many hours.
Oh my God. No. We met in college. We were in Dubai together and we met there. But he did work in Reddington for a brief period initially.
Okay, yeah. So you joined Reddington together?
Yes, we did. So both of us joined as management trainees.
Oh, wow.
So the campus placements.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you push him out or did he go on his own?
I think eventually I pushed him out because, yeah.
Okay.
That happens, right? No. He decided to move on for better things. I think better things for me has always come with Reddington. So.
That's great. Okay. So when you're not thinking about cloud, what are you doing? Like, how do you unwind?
When I'm thinking about cloud.
When you're not thinking about cloud.
When I'm not thinking about cloud, you unwind.
I'm sure you're always thinking about business.
Yeah. How do you unwind? Honestly, swimming. And I just go and have this thing which I do with my kid, which is we just put songs on a full volume at home.
Okay.
And just dance our heart out.
Oh, that sounds like great
every
stress
day,
buster.
Every day before going to bed.
That's wonderful.
20 minutes. That's
okay.
It.
Nice.
That's the one thing.
Thank you, Nehal. Thank you for spending your time with us today. I've enjoyed talking to you. I always do. And I know for a fact that you're an inspiration to a lot of us at the company.
Very kind of you.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jess.
Talk to
it
you
was
soon.
Pleasure. And I think you know how much I love doing this.
Yeah.
And you always do that. But I think your questions and what you ask and everything, it's always been fun. So thank you so much.